This passing world is fleeting. And one day we will worship face to face. Amen? Ah, what a day that will be. Let's pray this morning. God, you are over all, in all, through all. You are our God. We cherish this moment that we encounter with you in worship. We cannot express with our words your holiness, but we know it, and we feel you in your presence with us in song and prayer around the table and in your word. Father, may your word penetrate our souls this morning. May the power of the scripture be the power that changes us today. In Jesus' name, the church said. If you're not familiar with the story of Jonah in the Bible, he was a prophet, okay? So he was another word for prophet was seer. They would take a message from the king and to the people. And so that was what Jonah did. He took the message from the people, from God to the people. And so in this story, I'll just give you, because we're going to pick up in the latter part of Jonah's story, as Doug and I begin to talk about some characters and what we learned about us, but not about us mainly, but what we learned about God through these characters. What happens is God says, all right, you're my prophet. I want you to go to Nineveh. Now think of the worst town you can think of. Think of the worst, most dangerous place on the face of the planet, whether it be in this country or another country, and that was Nineveh. Maybe Nineveh was a little bit worse. And so God tells Jonah, Jonah, I've got an assignment for you. I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to go and prophesy to those people. They need to be prophesied to because they were a bad, bad, bad bunch of people. And so Jonah, instead of saying, yes, God, Jonah says, no, God. He doesn't say it so much, but that he got on a ship and went a different direction. He went towards a town called Tarshish, if I can say that properly. I don't know why that word's in the Bible, but it is. And he ran from God. He said, I don't want to go. I mean, it's just like, you know, I tell my children, take out the trash, and they conveniently forget to do something because they didn't want to do that. Parents, I'm seeing some heads nodding. That's Jonah and God. He says, I don't want to go to Nineveh. They're bad, God. I'm afraid for my life. I really don't think they're worth it that much, God. And there's all kinds of things that must have been going through his mind. And so he gets on this boat, and he sails towards Tarshish, and he's going, and you know what? God is very, very good. You cannot subvert God. If we learn something about God in this story, you can't get around God. All right? He knows where you're at. You know the old song, the all-seeing eye? I don't know how that song went, but I mean, that's God. He knows where you're at. He knows where you're going. So he sends us this squall, this windstorm up, and the boat's going this way and that way, and they're throwing out, and everybody's crying out to their own gods. And Jonah, bless his little heart, since we're talking about Jonah, that would probably be just down there sleeping in the boat, right, Jonah? I mean, he's just down there sleeping. So the guy comes down. He says, what are you doing? What are you thinking? I mean, we're about to die here. We're about to go under. We're going to sink. Cry out to your God. Very neat thing that they thought enough of Jonah to cry out to his God, anything to get beyond the storm. So they cast lots to find out who it would be and who was bringing the trouble on them. And the lot cast on Jonah. And this long, short of the long story is, he says, it really is me, guys. Throw me over. They didn't want to throw him over, but they threw him over. And then a big fish. I mean, probably not a whale. This is a whale. I'm thinking it was a whale. I don't know. But it was a big fish. It wasn't a goldfish. It was a big fish enough to swallow Jonah. He was in there for 3 days. And now, I love Vacation Bible School. I have to give this little precursor to that. But I think we've done a disservice, because the last Jonah story I saw had a big fish. It was really a whale, I think. And in it had Jonah sitting on a little bench, and he had a little fire going, and he was nice and warm. It wasn't like that, okay? I mean, this was judgment of God. I mean, we should, the kids might not come back, but we should have a body like sloshing around and whatever that fish had eaten before and the stomach acids and hitting him in the face and the things that he swallowed that he didn't ever want to swallow. And he did this for 3 days. And then the fish thought, hey, I don't want a prophet in my belly. He's making me sick. So he vomits him up on, he didn't say that in the scriptures, but he vomits him up on to the beach. That was directed by God. Okay, God, I'll go. So he goes to Nineveh, and guess what those stinking, rotten Ninevites do? They repent. They put on sackcloth and ashes, and they mourn over their sin, and they do what God intended for them to do. Think about that, rotten people listening to God. I think maybe some of us ought to start listening to God like the Ninevites, amen? I'm there, okay? I'm not preaching that to anybody. Those rotten Ninevites listened. Do you know what happened? Let's read it together. We're not together. I'll read it. If you ever want to read with me, you're more than welcome. But this is what it says in chapter 4 of Jonah. It says, but to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. What are you doing, God? What are you? These are bad people. I mean, I was ready for you to, you know, and like Star Wars, you know, and everybody would be wiped out in Nineveh. We could start over. But they repented, and God accepted their repentance. And it made Jonah very angry. Bless his heart, he's having a hard time on this assignment. He runs from God. He gets thrown over. He gets eaten by a fish and stays in there for 3 days and gets vomited on. Then he goes to Nineveh, and lo and behold, they repent. And it makes him angry. And I think in the Bible we can learn from God through these characters. And so here's our lesson today. The first one is that God's way is the only way. We don't like that in this world, right? We live in a society that says my truth is my truth and yours is yours. You be you and I'll be me. But what the story of Jonah and the prophet tells us is that God's way is the only way. Let's read in Jonah chapter 4, starting in verse 2. He prayed to the Lord. I love this. I don't mean to laugh, but I'm laughing at Jonah. Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That's what I tried to foretell by fleeing to Tarshish. Did I tell you, God? I love it when we tell God. I knew that you were gracious and compassionate. What are you thinking, God? I knew you were gracious and compassionate, God. Slow to anger and abounding in love. A God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, just take it away, God. Take my life away. I'm done. I'm over. For it is better for me to die than to live. Pretty bold, but then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? He could have thrown him back into another fish at this point, okay? He could have just zapped him, just could have withered him away, just went poof, you know, and Jonah's gone. But Jonah and the rest of the world and us and we, however that's supposed to be said, need to learn from the story. You see, with my children, I often say, it's my way or what? Or the highway. Yeah, that works sometimes. When we know better than God, we have a problem, family. That's Jonah. He knew better than God, and he told God that he knew better than him. God and Jonah are not on the same page. And when we're not on the same page with God, there is a problem. Verse 4, remember, said, but the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah, it's my creation. God is bringing Jonah back to a reality to remind him that he is God. Whose plans are we following, Jonah? Whose plans are we going off of? I mean, you can lay all the plans out you want, and you know about Nineveh, and you know that they repented, and you can be as angry as you want. Is it right for you to be angry? Jonah, we're going off my plans. These are the things that I have in store. And oh, if we can ever learn this, because we want God to say, God, this is my plan for my life. This is what I want for my life. We have to remember who the original giver of life is. The psalmist says this, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse or harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Praise God for that. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God is not us, and we are not God. That's what he says. Jonah has gotten a stark reminder and is about to get another one. God is able to forgive. I don't know if anyone is here this morning and their sin in their life has caused them to fall away from God or to distance yourself from him. But remember that last verse 12 of that song. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions against us. You see, he is a forgiving God. He took Rahab, a harlot, a prostitute, sold her body for money to make a living. And he gave her life and made her an heir of our Savior. God can do wonders. It is his world, not our world. We would look at Rahab and say that she was a nobody, a has-been. He took David, whom he anointed as king after he had sinned greatly with Bathsheba, and he made him a mighty king. He took Peter, who disowned him three times when he needed him the most. And he took him back and he gave him a ministry. You see, this is God's world. Maybe Jonah thought his anger would change God's plan, but it cannot. God's plan cannot be changed by our emotions. It cannot be changed by our anger, by our happiness, our sadness. God's plans cannot be changed by our posts on social media. It cannot be changed by how you walk out this door. It cannot be changed by what you said to people or what people have said to you. God's plan is God's plan, and it cannot be changed. God's way is the only way. God's timing is always best. If I could learn this lesson, when I learn this lesson, life will be easier. Let's continue to read in Jonah. Jonah had gone out and sat down. Remember, this is after he said, God, just end it all. Take it all away. I don't even want to live anymore. Jonah had gone out to sit down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in the shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. He's still hoping, all right? He's still wondering. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give him shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy with the plant. Oh, God is getting so much. Oh, it's so much better now. But at dawn the next day, the Lord provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. This is too much for me to handle, God. This is way too much. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said. I am so angry. I wished I were dead. God is teaching Jonah a lesson that his timing is always the best. Now, we know that an east wind in the Bible, an east wind represents destruction. And Noah, Jonah, we're in Jonah now, he understands the implications of an east wind. And I think we need to understand, not only is God's way the only way, his timing is the best timing. It's so hard to understand God. Can we say that? Can we just be real for a moment? God's ways are not our ways. We're not God. And it is so difficult. And if you've lived in this world, and if you've seen family struggle, like the family that has lost their son and their daughter is so sick, it is hard to understand this world, about how God works in the world and not in the world, and lets things happen and lets things let. God's timing is always best. And I don't understand everything that happens. I think this story helps us to understand that God is still God, even in the middle of devastation. Jonah's for real here, okay? Have you ever wanted to die? Jonah's for real. I don't think we might not place enough emphasis on that. He really doesn't want to live. He is miserable. It wasn't a campfire inside that fish, and he really was upset about the Ninevites getting to have God's love. But what God is teaching him, Jonah, my way is the right way. My timing is the best timing. You see, we're not always guaranteed. Can we say that too? Just because we come to a building that has a name outside, Church of Christ, we're not always guaranteed. God's chosen became God's target in this story. We need to understand that, that we need to be on God's side, whatever side that is, and however we don't understand it, God's timing is always great and is always best. God's love should be our love. And I think we learned this about the story. Let's keep reading in Jonah. One thing I love about the God that we serve is he seems to answer even our stupid, that's probably not a good word, our not good questions. God seems to come back with an answer even when we're struggling. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant. All right. You're concerned about your circumstances, Jonah. You're concerned about this pretty little leafy plant. You're concerned about the things that your eyes can see. You're concerned, Jonah, about your comfort. Though you did not tend or make it grow, you didn't even do this, Jonah. Your comfort, your happiness, your well-being, it didn't even come from you. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there were more than 120,000 people cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? What are you thinking, Jonah? What are you thinking of? Our love ought to be God's love. You're thinking about your comfort, right? You think about the pretty little leaves on this plant and the shade that has happened. I mean, just overnight. Do you know I did that? I made it show up and I made it go away. Do you know I did that? Can I not be concerned about 120,000 people and their animals? Your priorities are not right, Jonah. That's what he's saying. Can I say it again? Until I quit seeing people who follow a God who loves everybody, stop tweeting, stop posting on Facebook ugly, ugly things. Until I quit seeing the people who pretend, say they love God, stop hating other people. I'm going to keep preaching it, okay? Our love ought to be God's love. God loves everybody. Amen? I heard it. He loves everybody. It doesn't matter if they're straight or they're gay or they're black or they're white or they're purple polka dotted, what country they come from, what socioeconomic status they live in. Our love has got to be God's love. That's what he's saying here. Jonah, you're so concerned about this plant. Couldn't I have been concerned about those people? Those people are my people. People in this world who are lost and dead in sin are God's people. We've got to quit hating people. Love starts with us. It's not coming from the world. When you look at the world and you say, oh, we're going to hell in a handbasket. The world is. And we're the ones that are supposed to love the world like he loved the world. That's what we learned about God, is that God wants us to see the Ninevites like he sees the Ninevites. His heart and compassion were for them. He did not demean them. He did not call them names. He did not call them out except for their sin that they turned from. How long do I have? All right, I'll quit for now. Until we love like God loves, until we love like he loves, we will never be the church that God has designed. Can I say that? I said a few weeks back, you don't have to compromise. Jesus never compromised his values to love those who were lost in this world. God's way is the only way. God's timing is always best. And my love has got to become God's love. Amen? Let's do it. Let's work on it. Let's take this story and go from here. Maybe you're somebody who's lost. Maybe you're the Ninevite in the story. Understand, God is ready and willing and waiting for you. He's waiting for you to come to him, to repent to him, to turn your ways. Jesus brought forth, and Jesus was baptized just like the law, to fulfill the law. And today we have water that symbolizes Christ's death. So that if you would like to be baptized into him, to be raised to walk a new life, to walk in him, today's the day. I'm not saying let's talk afterwards. If you're ready, let's do it right now. Let's do it right here with everybody present. Those who follow God love to see other people turn to God. Amen? There's a couple. That's good. Maybe you're just somebody that needs to learn to love better. I'm there. The story tells me, Michael, you've got to learn to love better, more like God loves. So maybe that's you. Whatever it is, let the Spirit penetrate you, let the Word penetrate you, and let it change you from the moment that you walked in till the moment that we leave and on to this week. If you're ready to be baptized, I'm going to invite you. I'm going to go to the back. I'm going to be back there if you want to meet me back there. If you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ, it's really simple. It's the most simple decision you'll ever make to allow God to change your life. And then you live for him. So if you meet me back there in the back, if you'd like to be baptized into him, if you want to chat a little bit more, we can do that. If you just need to pray, if you need somebody to pray over you and with you, there's a lot of faithful people. While Kent leads this song, you can lean to somebody and say, can we pray? Kent doesn't mind at all. If you need Jesus this morning, will you come meet me at the back as we stand and sing?